lights and comp banks in the room have dimmed in intensity as the light within the Matrans unit reached blinding levels. Then, he was gone. There was no fading or even the sudden violent changes in the air and gravitation fabric as the last time he'd been taken by Time Troll. He just ceased to be. Doc Tanner wasn't.
The Cron Jump is now in progress. First stop, tomorrow.
Moxon, Montana, 2095. Doc Tanner stared up toward the voice that had just threatened to kill him, his eyes falling on a kind of stepped pyramid, approximately 12 feet high, wide at the bottom, and tapering off to a smaller, flat top, upon which rested a wide, high-backed winged chair draped in the stars and stripes of an American flag. Sitting in the chair, and on the flag, was a man dressed in a dingy robe of purple silk with a dirty white fur collar. Purple silken pajamas could be glimpsed beneath the folds of the half-open robe. The man was wearing black knee-length riding boots, whose sheen caught the reflection of many candles. He was fat, but not grotesque, although the potential for obesity of an incapacitating manner was present in his fleshy face and build. A white scarf, brighter and cleaner than the fur collar of the gown, was wrapped around his throat. Short white hair topped the man's head, which craned down as he peered intently at the kneeling figure of Doc Tanner with mild curiosity. The room was silent as he stared Doc down, pausing only to take out and light up a ridiculously large cigar with an odor even more cloying and sweet than the burning pots of incense. He finally decided to speak after blowing out a plume of smoke.
Who the fuck are you?
Doc got enough of a whiff to note the cigar wasn't made of tobacco, but could be traced instead to the cannabis plant.
Tanner. Dr. Theophilus Algernon Tanner.
Doctor. Medical doc.
Teague looked past Doc to his right-hand man, Court Strasser. Strasser made no overt movement to indicate yay or nay, allowing the kneeling man as much rope as required to hang himself.
No, my friend. Philosophy. Philosophy and...
Tanner discovered the years of scientific training he'd taken had vanished from his mind. Vanishing to such a degree, he was having trouble even recalling what his second major in university might have been.
Sounds like a bullshitter to me. He come into Moxon with tribute?
Nothing on him, Baron, except for these.
The bearded sec man reached into a canvas shoulder bag and held out a pair of perfect metal spheres, each about the size of a golf ball. Strasser took the offered globes and walked up the steps to the top of Teague's bizarre indoor pyramid. The overweight Baron had ordered the pyramid built as his throne, having been advised that a pyramid was a power object, and by sitting atop one, he could harness the latent energies and become a stronger leader. At first, Baron Teague had been hesitant, but after discussing the matter with his closest advisors, including Court Strasser, he decided a pyramid was just what he needed. With almost superhuman effort, Strasser had managed to keep from erupting into gales of laughter at the sight of his boss perched atop the pretentious construct, and word quickly escaped into Moxon that the good Baron was becoming loonier and loonier each day. It was an assumption Strasser had done nothing to suppress. Court Strasser had his own plans for Moxon and for the Ville's leader.
Balls.
Teague rolled one of the spheres between two fleshy hands.
That's right. Balls.
Teague didn't appear to be impressed.
So this old fart's no peddler or trader, since he offers nothing of value in the way of hard goods, correct?
Correct.
And he's too dried up to be worth fucking or selling his ass, so a thriving career as a male guard he seems to be out.
Right.
Teague leaned forward ever so slightly and fixed Doc with a contemptuous stare.
My question is, what do you have to offer me, old man?
Doc tried to summon the courage to ignore the man with high-powered weapons surrounding him and fixate instead on the unarmed Baron.
First, my good fellow...
Baron.
My good Baron. I am not old. Haggard, yes. I will accept that description. But old, never.
Seems like you're in a powerful world of denial, old man.
Teague didn't acknowledge the crack, another sign of Strasser's continually growing power. Since a year ago, the Baron would have slapped his second-in-command down, either verbally or physically, for daring to comment during one of his interrogations. Doc pressed on, keeping his chin high, as he looked up at the seated Baron of Moxon.
Second, I am a teacher, a man of learning who wishes to share his knowledge.
Teacher? Teach what?
The sciences.
The Baron now had the first active look of interest he'd shown since Doc's arrival.
Oh, tech?
Beg pardon?
Tech, hardware, machines. Are you a fixer? I can always use a fixer or a techie. You know anything about engines or comps? What's your field, man?
No, mechanical apparatuses are not my forte. Tech is not my calling.
Teague shook his head, already bored again. The siren call of the addict was starting to whisper in his ear, and he grew weary of discussing job descriptions with Doc Tanner. The glowing pipe, the oversized joint of happy weed, both were waiting for him, and Teague wanted to feel the burning sensation between his lips and teeth. But not until business was done. Baron Jordan Teague hadn't backslid so much as to reveal his addiction openly to his underlings. At least, not yet.
Well, we have no use of theory here, Doctor. I need men who can produce results. You sound like a user, a taker, a man with nothing to offer.
Begging your pardon, Baron Teague.
Yes, Court.
Strasser stepped up beside Doc and placed a friendly arm around the man's skinny shoulders.
I think you've got Doc all wrong. He does serve a purpose.
Teague wiped his mouth on the sleeve of his purple robe. He needed a fix, and soon.
Well, would you enlighten me, please, Court, for I sure as hell don't see it.
Strasser pulled back the friendly arm and used it to slap Doc on the back, hard.
He's a fun guy, a clown. He can help keep us entertained. He tells great stories, recites Shakespeare. Why, I bet he even sings and dances once you get a few beers in him.
Doc stayed on his feet, grating his fine teeth against the pain now throbbing between his bony shoulder blades.
I am no man's monkey, Mr. Strasser.
That's what you think.
Strasser jerked a thumb in a downward motion.
Let me have him, Baron. I'll find a use for old Doc here. Train him up good, and when you least expect it, I'll drag his sorry ass out for a show.
Teague nodded, the board mask back on his fleshy face. The drugs were in his left robe pocket, and it took all of his self-control to stop from pulling them out and lighting up.
He's yours, Court. You found him, you're responsible for him. Now leave me, all of you. I need time alone to think and meditate upon my current affairs of state.
Strasser bowed.
Yes, my lord.
Unhand me, sir!
The bearded man obliged, pushing Doc into the filthy basement room. The walls were a mix of earth and heavy stone, the floor damp and muddy. The room was barren, no furniture or windows, only the single wooden door with a tiny window cut in the upper section for viewing.
You just don't get it, do you, old man? I think you need a lesson in manners.
Doc reeled from Strasser's blow and stumbled sideways into the wall. While Doc was no coward, he wasn't a seasoned fighter either. And the events that had seen him taken from the end of the year 2000 and dropped nearly 100 years into this future hellhole had robbed him of almost all his strength. Doc raised an arm, managing to block a second punch. He felt his entire shoulder go numb from the force of the blow. Strasser feinted with his right fist, taking advantage of his victim's hapless avoidance to easily kick out with a booted foot, catching his prisoner in the kneecap.
Strip him!
The two sec men bent down to comply, pulling away the well-worn clothing, the grimy, long underwear.
You animal!
No. You're the animal here, Doc, and I'm going to enjoy proving it. I hope you can get it up, because I've got a special job for you. One you're gonna like.
Get it up?
Even if he does pop a boner, I don't think it's gonna amount to much.
Strasser strode over with his hand on his hips and looked down.
Doc! You've just been appointed Moxon's Ambassador of Swine. And as such, your number one duty is to service all the female members of your entourage. You might as well save your strength. You're gonna need it all for your harem.
Doc looked horrified, a shudder of revulsion running down from his nape to the back of his thighs.
Bestiality?
See? Quips like that would make you the top funny fellow in Deathlands. Bestiality, he says. It's a mighty fancy word for fucking, old man. And that's what you are to me now. Moxon's very own piggy humper.